Support for KMXT's Midday Report is provided by Artinger's Fine Furnishings, featuring children's clothing from the Tea Collection, home spa items from Crabtree and Evelyn, and leather handbags by Dooney and Burke. Special orders of the Tea Collection clothing in your child's size always welcome at Artinger's. 486-5554.
In a follow-up to what they just talked about on the ESC meeting, Alaska bars and pools will be able to reopen tomorrow, and other state businesses will be able to expand the number of customers they have. In addition, up to 50 people can gather in social and religious groups. Many businesses will be allowed to operate at half their capacity, twice the level currently allowed. The governor says the ability to reopen will depend on the actions Alaskans take to reduce the spread of the virus.
So as we go through this process of reopening more and more and more, it's really going to fall on the individual to make sure that we don't cause a spike in the number of cases.
Dunleavy said that if the state continues to make progress, he and health officials will be able to announce the third phase in the state's reopening as soon as next week. Tomorrow, bars and gyms will be able to operate at 25% of capacity. Gyms were only allowed to have outdoor classes in the first phase of reopening. Now indoor classes will be allowed. Dunleavy has said the state would reopen businesses and gatherings in five phases. He said he will base his decisions on data. Since he first announced the easing of state mandates, the number of new COVID cases has trended down, while the daily test results have increased. Dunleavy said the state could impose restrictions when there are spikes in the number of cases, but will aim to target future restrictions more narrowly. City of Cordova announced its first positive case of COVID-19 yesterday afternoon. The infected individual is an Ocean Beauty cannery worker who had recently traveled through Seattle and Anchorage, according to the mayor, Clay Coplin. The individual tested positive during a routine health screening while in quarantine facilities provided by the cannery. Ocean Beauty tested once before the employee arrived in Cordova and again after he arrived. Coplin said the patient remained completely asymptomatic and there's still a chance the test is a false positive.
The first test, there was no sign. The second test, there did indicate virus. So there's a follow-up test today to confirm.
The results of the third test have not yet been confirmed. City and state officials have begun an investigation to identify a list of people the cannery worker may have come into contact with. Coplin said he doesn't expect it to be a long list because the individual went directly to quarantine after arriving in Cordova. Last month, Cordova residents were divided about whether outside cannery workers should be allowed into the city as the summer fishing season started to get started. Coplin said as they've received more testing resources and developed a robust plan to handle an outbreak, public opinion has moved to the middle.
In other words, some of the panic has subsided into a little better understanding of what the city and others are doing to help prevent it and mitigate it. And then at the other extreme, those who feel like it's really nothing to be concerned with have recognized that, no, there are some real risks. There are some mitigating behaviors.
Even with more supplies, Cordova's medical system is not set up to treat a serious COVID-19 case. Anyone seriously ill would still need to be flown to Anchorage for treatment. Coplin said that they are still allowing outside workers into the city. They remain open to more aggressive measures if the situation becomes more serious. Antibody testing for COVID-19 has been making headlines over the last few weeks. It's a form of testing that uses blood droplets to confirm whether you've been exposed to the virus by checking if you have the antibodies associated with it. Center for Disease Control says it's unclear right now whether having the antibodies makes someone immune to the disease. While it's possible to have had COVID-19 without showing symptoms, the CDC says for the most part, if you aren't showing symptoms, it's unlikely you have an active infection. Elsa DeHart, a public health nurse in Kodiak, says Alaska is still in the early stages of deciding how to implement antibody testing.
I don't think that the state has decided on a widespread antibody testing yet. I think that will come down the line, probably starting in the fall or at some point. They will definitely do it. I mean, our epidemiologists are excited about that. I just think it's They're still kind of on the brink of worrying about active disease right now.
And Kodiak doctors said they're seeing fewer patients coming in with symptoms asking to get checked and more people wanting to get tested as a preventative measure. Here's Dr. John Caller with the Kodiak Island Ambulatory Clinic.
We're seeing less symptomatic coming in wanting to know if they've got it now and more. I was at GCI a month ago. I think maybe I had it, that kind of thing. We're starting to see more employers sending people in, that like they're getting their fishing boats ready and somebody just flew in from Minnesota. They did their 2-week quarantine, but before they get on the boat, they want to know, can I let this guy on my boat safely?
In cases like this, Kodiak's medical community says an antibody test wouldn't be very helpful anyway, since it would only indicate whether the patient had ever been exposed to the coronavirus. While it's possible for people to continue shedding the virus for weeks after exposure, doctors say symptom-free after 14 days is a reasonable indicator you're healthy. It's hiring season for Kodiak or for school districts across the country. While students prepare for graduation and summer vacation, administrators are focusing on filling anticipated job vacancies for the upcoming school year. But as Alaska Public Media's Maya Inwe reports, the pandemic is making it difficult to recruit teachers to the state, especially in rural Alaska.
Bobby Bolin is the superintendent of the Bering Strait School District, home to 15 schools in northwest Alaska surrounding Nome.
We are all obviously remote bush villages. We don't have any roads. We are remote in by airplane, pretty much.
Normally, right now, Bolin and other staff members would be at recruitment fairs across the country looking for teachers willing to sign up for the ultimate Alaska adventure. Bolin says he had already been to job fairs in Missouri and Iowa and was scheduled to attend about 30 others just as the pandemic settled in.
And that's that's kind of our way to sell our district is face-to-face, talk about Alaska, talk about the unique experiences you can get in rural communities.
Not only did those face-to-face opportunities to recruit disappear, teachers that were hired are starting to back out. Bolin says at least 4 teachers have already asked to be let out of their contracts for the coming school year, and around 20 teachers that he's offered positions to did not accept them due to uncertainty surrounding the coronavirus. Lisa Parody is the executive director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators. She says she's heard similar struggles and challenges from administrators all over the state.
Districts reported unfilled positions as recent as yesterday. Bering Strait, Chugach, Southwest Region, Alaska Gateway, Haines, the Kenai, Nome.
Parody says schools were struggling with teacher, principal, and superintendent turnover even before the pandemic.
And so it's really just exacerbated what we were already struggling with prior to now. So will this be the worst ever? Quite possibly.
Teacher recruitment isn't as much of an issue for urban districts that educate the majority of the state's students. Anchorage School District administrators say just over half of teachers come from outside the state. They've already pivoted to a virtual recruitment strategy, though, and are optimistic that they'll be able to fill open positions. Dana DeFeo is an education policy researcher at the University of Alaska Anchorage. She says official data on the pandemic's effect on teacher recruitment isn't available, but the initial outlook isn't good, especially considering the state's broader economic situation.
So, anybody who's going to be relocating looks at, what's going on. And the fiscal uncertainty in the state and the dollars going to education dwindling is enough to raise the eyebrows of any teacher.
DeFeo also says that teachers' jobs have drastically changed in the past few months, which can be yet another challenge for recruitment.
I think a big question is, what is the job that we need people to do? Are we needing people to deliver a lot of instruction via distance, either online or packets kids take home? We always have a hard time filling these jobs, but we don't even know what the jobs look like yet.
Bolin in the Bering Strait says teachers are expected to report to work on August 12th, but as with so much else during this time, he's not certain how many will return. In Anchorage, I'm Maya Wa'aina.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Salmon season starts in 1 week. More fishing updates after this.
Grundins urges everyone to buy seafood directly from community-supported fisheries at localcatch.org. Your CSF purchases will help U.S. fishing towns thrive. Grundins, supporting fisheries around the world since 1926.
Alaska's salmon season officially kicks off 1 week from today on May 14th at Copper River near Cordova with a 12-hour opener for kings and sockeyes. The state's largest herring fishery at Togiak in Bristol Bay opened on May 3rd. Icicle is the only buyer for a haul of nearly 39,000 tons of herring caught for their roe. Kodiak's roe herring fishery is still underway, with one of the best catches in recent years, topping 1,500 tons. The price was reported at $300 a ton. A small one-day-a-week herring fishery is still underway at Upper Cook Inlet through May 31st, and the inlet's 200-ton smelt fishery runs from May 1st through June. Dungeness crab opened around Kodiak on May 1st. Southeast Alaska's beam trawling for pink and sidestripe shrimp opened on May 1st. That catch is nearly 1.8 million pounds. A pot shrimp fishery opens on May 15th with a 32,000-pound quota. And trollers will be out on the water this month, targeting hatchery kings in several southeast regions. At Prince William Sound, a short second opener for big spot shrimp opened on May 4th and will wrap up on May 9th. The total catch by 60 boats will come in at just over 68,000 pounds. Nearly 2 million pounds of halibut has been landed since the mid-March opener. Catches are off by about 60% from last year due to low prices and little fishing interest. Sablefish catches at just over 5 million pounds also are down. The Bering Sea snow crab fishery should wrap up any day with a 30.6 million pound catch, and as always, catches for cod, pollock, flounders, and much more are ongoing in the Gulf of Alaska and Bering Sea. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
Thank you, Lainey. We're going to jump right into this now. A long baby bumper coming up in just a couple of minutes. It's currently 44 degrees here on Signal Hill, 83% humidity, a northeast wind to 30, gusting to 50, with 2.5 miles of visibility out at the airport. It's the 7th of May, 6:03, sun up, 10:12 goes down, 16 hours and 9 minutes of daylight today. 60 was the high in 1918, 22, 1972 is the low. Chiniac Bay gale warning through tonight. Today, this afternoon, northeast 40, 15-foot seas, rain. Tonight, east 35, diminishing to 25 after midnight with 13-foot seas and widespread rain. Tomorrow, east winds at 20 knots, 7-foot seas and rain. Marmot Bay gale warning through tonight. Northeast 40, 11-foot seas up to 17 feet later this afternoon. East 35, diminishing to 25 after midnight with 16-foot seas subsiding to 10 after midnight. Widespread rain showers. East 20, 7-foot seas and rain tomorrow. Shelikov Strait, there's a gale warning through tonight. Northeast winds up to 45 knots this afternoon with 16-foot seas and rain. Northeast 40, diminishing to 30 after midnight. 16-foot seas subsiding to 12 feet after midnight. Rain. Northeast 30, 11-foot seas and rain tonight. Tides in the Kodiak District, our next one's a high tide at 3 o'clock, 8.1 feet. Low tides at 8:37 tonight, 0.60 feet. West side tide, 3:27 this afternoon, 16.25 feet. And the evening low tides at 9:22, minus 0.7 of a foot. There is an Alaska Marine Highway Reshaping Work Group meeting today at 1:30. Public is invited to join by calling 855-925-2801. There's a meeting code if you're interested in attending. Shoot us a message and we'll gladly give you the link information. Public Library is having Zoom Room Book Club tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Meet up online to discuss what you've read, watched, listened to recently, or from print to podcast. Send an email to Lori at lorilmadsen@city.kodiak.ak.us to get a Zoom invitation. Five scholarships still available through the Kodiak Community Group. Your applications are due by tomorrow. Close of business, probably. Photo ID and a Kodiak address attached to an application. Go to kodiakcommunity.org for information about that. And a plant sale for our benefit at Kodiak Public Broadcasting is going to take place on Saturday from 10 o'clock until noon at Marion's House, 1223 Kuskoff. If you have plants to donate, raspberries, rhubarb, shrubs, seedlings, please bring them as soon as possible to her house or call her 539-5009 to make arrangements. Thank you, Marion. That should be a lot of fun.